We intercepted a signal, Maccabeus continued, and assumed it was a beacon, a marker for the parley.
He scowled at the green diamond.
But our luminary made its own assessment. I'd like you to explain it.
It's hard to say, Chieftain.
But Dadav was lying. He knew all too well that one of the symbols meant intelligence, another, association, and a third, verboten. And as for the fourth glyph, the one flashing from yellow to blue at the diamond's tip, Dadav nervously cleared his throat.
If you had a library, I might...
We do not.
Maccabeus' eyes bored into Dadab's.
One of many essentials the Sangeli saw fit to deny us. I'm afraid I must rely on your expert opinion.
Well, then, let me see.
Dadab calmly scrutinized the glyphs, but inside he shook with fear.
He knows all that I have done, and this is all just a trap to get my confession.
But then some small, still rational part of the deacon's brain suggested it was possible the chieftain really didn't have any idea what the glyphs meant, especially the one that was flashing so insistently. It was an arcane symbol only certain San Shum priests and overachieving Ungoy seminarians would bother to remember. And if Dadab hadn't been so frightened, he would have been awed as he announced,
Of course, how could I be so stupid? These luminations suggest an oracle.
Maccabeus drew back from the railing. Tartarus's and Varinus's pheromones flared. The other Jirohane took their eyes off their workstations and stole furtive glances at the hollow tank. But no one spoke, and for a long time the bridge was filled with reverent silence.
Can it be so?
Maccabeus said at last, his voice a throaty whisper.
A reliquary and an oracle?
Who else would the gods leave to safeguard such a splendid trove?
Dadab replied.
A wise observation, Deacon.
Maccabeus lifted a silver-haired paw and placed it on Dadab's head. With a flinch of his fingers, the Jirohane could have crushed the Ungoy's skull. But Dadab hoped the gesture was simply a sign of the chieftain's growing appreciation for his assistance as minister to the cruiser's Ungoy and translator for its invaluable Huragok. In that moment, all Dadab's fears began to fade.
Brothers,
Maccabeus shouted, turning to face his pack,
we are well and truly blessed.
Stepping away from the tank, the chieftain threw back his hairless head and howled. Instantly, the other Jirohane joined their voices to his cry, creating a booming chorus of joyous yelps that shook the bridge and reverberated down Rapid Conversion's central shaft. But there was one member of the pack who did not take part.
Are you sure?
Tartarus asked, squinting at the tethered arcs above the planet.
This isn't a weapons platform. Kinetics won't register on our scans, and it's large enough for missiles.
The pack's howl petered out. But Tartarus persisted, oblivious to the uncomfortable silence.
We should destroy it and all proximate contacts. Our point lasers should be sufficient, no need to show them we have cannon.
Failing to participate in the howl was a direct challenge to Maccabeus's dominance. In his lifetime, the chieftain had spilled blood for lesser offenses. But he was absolutely calm as he turned to face his nephew.
Your suspicion well befits your post. But we now bear witness to tangible divinity.
Maccabeus gave Tartarus a moment to pull himself from the tank, look his chieftain in the eye, and realize the extent of his insubordination, his perilous position.
If there is an oracle on this world, nephew, shall we meet its call for peace with violence?
No, uncle, Tartarus replied. No, chieftain.
Maccabeus flared his nostrils. The younger Jirohane's angry scent was fading, and his willful glands were now producing the unmistakable scent of submission.
Then let us keep our weapons stowed.
The chieftain placed both paws on Tartarus's shoulders and gave him a loving shake.
We shall give these aliens no reason to fear us, no cause to secret what we seek. With that, the chieftain began another howl. This time Tartarus was quick to join in, and before Dadaab knew it, he was whooping along with them, his thin lips puckered inside his mask. The deacon wasn't so foolish to think he had somehow become a member of their pack. He would always be an outsider. But he was the cruiser's deacon, and this was cause for celebration. In spite of all his missteps, and in opposition to his fears, Dadaab had finally found his calling, his ministry, and his flock.